Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 1. We'll stand, honor the reading of the Word of God today. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. The Bible says, and it does matter what it says, it's going to stand when the world's burning. Be ye, that's all of us, followers, that's going somewhere, of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul's writing now to the church of Corinth. And he says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Thank you for standing this morning. Last week we preached from the thought of dare to be a Daniel. But something stood up to me this week in chapter 11, verse 1 of Corinthians. And I want to preach on the plea to be a Paul. He said, be ye followers of me. Now, what a statement. I want to say, first of all, what a statement. You know, that statement used to bother me a little bit till I realized that a man can be so consecrated to Christ, that can be so dedicated to the Spirit of God and so in tune to the Word of God, that he said, if you'll follow me as I follow Christ, you'll be all right. What a statement. So this morning on the plea to be a Paul, I want you to notice, first of all, turn in Acts 7, verse 54. Paul said, if you follow him, then he can take you to the experience of a believing place. He's had the experience at a believing place. I asked you today, are you going to heaven? You say, oh yeah, preacher, I'm going to heaven. Well, if you're going to heaven, then you've got to have the experience of a believing place. You've just not always been a Christian. This thing of going to heaven is not doing good and hoping your good outweighs your bad. The Bible said you must be born again. So therefore, if I've been born again, it's had to be a specific place where I got born. In 1961, I was born in Tennessee, into the Bowman family. But in 1981, over yonder at Sandy Flat Baptist Church, I got born into God's family. Could I get a witness this morning? There's a specific place. As a matter of fact, you don't have to turn, but I would like to remind you something, what Paul said about this. He said that he would be a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. That's in 1 Timothy 1 and 16. Paul said, if you're going to heaven, you better know you've got the pattern. He said, I am the pattern. How I got saved, everybody must be saved. And I believe it with all my heart. Pray for me, the devil's a fight. Now, in Acts 7, 54, I want to give you a little background about following Paul. You'll find the experience of a believing place. He said in Acts 7, now he's standing around with a bunch of rock throwers. There was a spirit-filled man called Stephen, and he does some preaching. And his preaching got him in trouble, just like it'll get you in trouble in the day and hour that we live. Because he said in Acts 7 and verse 54, "And when they heard these things, they was cut to the heart." That's what preaching's supposed to do. You say, "Preacher, hey, you got on my toes." No, I aim way too low. I'm looking to bust your heart this morning. Because if you limp out of here, ain't going to help nothing. But if you'll weep out of here, it'll help something. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes, here it is, at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now, what's going on, preacher? Well, I want to say, first of all, you'll find out that Paul had a pricked conscience. Something happened. Paul was a young man. His name was Saul at this time. He was standing around and people was throwing rocks at one of God's preachers, and they simply took off their coat and they throwed it at Paul's feet. And Paul said in Acts 22 and verse 19, he never forgot what happened to him that day. Look what he said in Acts 22 and 19. He said, "Lord, they know that I imprison and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him." Paul held the coat of those that stoned Stephen. But something happened to Paul that day. God began to deal with his conscience. You know, I believe we better watch our conscience. Because our conscience can be seared and not bother us anymore. That's why you ought to raise these little ones up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that their conscience not be hardened or seared in a lost and dying world, but bring them up under preaching and the moving of the Holy Spirit, that their little conscience stays tender. Then God can deal with their conscience as He did Paul and can prick their conscience. Had your conscience ever been bothered? Boy, Saul was doing pretty good till God got to dealing with his conscience. And certainly when he held the coat of them that was doing the stoning, God held that in his memory bank all of his life and began to deal with him about his sin. And now we find not only did Paul have a pricked conscience, but in Acts 9 and verse number 1, we're going to see this pattern now, he says, that everyone must receive before they go to heaven. He had to have personal conviction. I want to ask you this morning, if you're saved, and then number 2, I want to ask you, well, then when did you get lost? It takes the Holy Spirit of God to convict us of our sin to get us lost and get us troubled. That's how come some of you don't like preaching. How come some of you don't like a church that preaches? Because it brings conviction to your spirit. Thank God I've sat under some convicting preaching that helped me in my spirit. Matter of fact, you do all right long as a choir singing, but you don't like that Holy Ghost filled preaching. Somebody say amen right there. So here in Acts 9:1, not only did he have a pricked conscience, he had a personal conviction. He said, "Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughterings against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." Now here it is. "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now notice, Paul received conviction. Friend, you're never going to get saved unless you're convicted by the Spirit of God. He said, John 6:44, no man comes to the Father except the one have sent him draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Now notice, Paul was minding his own business. But there was a light shined about him, and God began to deal with him. Now I want to say this, if you've ever been saved by the grace of God, then the Lord came to you and shined that light in your heart some way, somehow, and convicted you of what you was doing. Now, a lot of people at revival time in August, they come and they just join the church with their little cousins, but they was never convicted about their sin. I hear people say, well, I'm not sure, I don't know when all this happened. Well, honey, if it's ever happened, trust me, you'll know. And you'll remember the day that the Lord showed you you was a lost sinner on the way to hell. Thank God for the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul said if you follow him, he would take you to the experience of a believing place. I want to tell you something. If you're born again, you've had an experience with Jesus. It's not joining a church. It's not being baptized. It's not having religion and trying to do better than what your flesh is allowed to do. It is an experience with a Jesus that hung on a cross and the third day got out of the grave and convicted us of our sin. Paul said, matter of fact, I'm the pattern to all them that would believe. I told a woman that one time. She got mad and left. My mama sewed for the public. That time she had them McCall patterns that none of you young girls know nothing about. She'd fold them out on the table and she'd cut everything. She wanted to be sure the dress is right because she used the right pattern. If you're going to heaven, you better be sure you line up to the doctrines of this old Bible and realize that you're a sinner in the need of a Savior and be gloriously born again by the grace and the Spirit of God. You must be born again, is what Jesus told Nicodemus, the most religious man in the world. He said, son, your religion is going to get you in hell. You must be born again. And so here, Paul said, be ye followers of me. He said, if you follow me, I'll take you to the experience of a believing place. Have you ever had the experience of a believing place? Now watch, he had a prick conscience. He had a personal conviction. But in Acts 9 and 6, he had a powerful conversion. The Bible said that he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, you've got to say this to be saved. You've got to do this to be saved. No, let me tell you what you've got to do to be saved. You've got to trust Christ under Holy Ghost conviction. Look what he says. And he trembled and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? His heart turned. Let me tell you something. Here's a man that was persecuting the church that would walk in as Saul. He'd raise havoc on a place. He'd pull preachers out and take them back to Jerusalem and beat them because he thought they was preaching heresy about a cross and a bloody Calvary. He was wanting them to bow down to Judaism, but God opened his eyes. Ain't you glad today God opened your eyes? You know something, some of you this morning, you've got religion, you've never been born again. I hope God turns a light on you and show you you've never been in this situation. You've never had the experience of a changed life. Look what he says. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He said, arise and go in the city and shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, like verse 11, and the Lord said to him, arise, go in the street which is called Straight. And that happens to anybody that gets saved. They find themselves on Straight Street. You just join a church and you ain't going to live for Jesus. But friend, if you get saved, there's going to be something happen to you, genuinely happen to you, and change your life. I'm talking about a salvation that changes things. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about baptism. I'm talking about old-timey salvation filled with the presence of the Holy Ghost of God, walking through a world and showing people that Jesus does change. But He changed me. He's changed a bunch of you. You say, well, what about a young child, preacher? I believe at 6 years old, and I never got in sin. Good for you. Wonderful. Praise God. I'm glad it happened to you at an early age. But I can tell you this, if you got saved at 6 years old, you remember the day that the Lord saved you. He said, if you'll follow me, He said, I'll take you to a believing place. I'm so glad I got saved. Hey, don't tell me it ain't fun being saved. I love to walk around these people and they wake up and not know how they got there. And I say, man, you told me you was having a good time at the party Friday night. Now you look like something the death warmed over, praise God. I'm running around shouting and praising God, enjoying the good Holy Ghost. I'm glad I'm saved. Just don't tell me you can't be saved and enjoy God. I'm just as saved in a deer stand as any man I know. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody shout right now. I'm glad I can climb a tree and enjoy the goodness of God. I'm glad I can be saved on a golf course. I'm glad I can be saved at Panama City Beach, Florida. I'm glad I've got the experience of a believing place. I'm glad He saves those sinners, don't you? Matter of fact, I was sitting where Jesse was that morning. A lot of men have to say, I had to say this and do that. All I know to tell you is God come to me, convicted me of my sins. I knew I was lost. I knew I was headed to hell. And when I took that step right there, my life changed by the grace of God. He saved the fire out of me. Somebody said it'll wear off. It ain't it. It just got stronger. Somebody said it'd wash off. I've been in a lot of thunderstorms. It ain't went nowhere. Thank God I'm saved by the grace. And know I'm saved. Paul said if you follow Him, He can take you to the experience of a believing place. He said, I'll tell you something else. He said, if you'll follow me, I can take you on an excursion to a bigger place. He said, you ain't got to stay a baby. He said, you can grow in Christ. Oh, I agree this morning, knowing that your sins are gone and your name's written down yonder in glory and knowing you got a home in heaven, that means everything. But it is something greater. And that's living a life filled with the power of the Holy Ghost that'll let you walk in places nobody else can walk. Make you get along in a commitment and in a marriage that others cannot keep. Paul said, if you follow me, I can take you on the excursion to a bigger place. I love going places. Paul said, if you follow me, He could take you some places. Let's look right quick. Colossians 1. Some of y'all don't look like you've had more preaching than you want. Colossians 1, verse number 3. He said, if you follow me, I'll take you to a bigger place. Paul's writing now to a young church. He says, Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. I believe He can take us to a bigger place of praying. There's nothing like praying. Do you pray? I said something and a man challenged me one day. There's nobody here that loves Starbucks coffee more than this preacher loves it. But I try to fulfill this commitment to the Lord. Something, Brother Dennis, to make me realize, to make me have a disciplined life. Before I have that coffee in the morning, I go try to have discipline to my altar. Whatever works for you, do it. Just be sure you go to your altar and get disciplined and pray. How can you live a Christian life through the day if you don't pray? How can you defeat a real devil if you don't pray? Now, he said, I can take you to a bigger place of praying. Watch this, Colossians 1:3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Notice he prayed thankfully.
We got a lot to thank Him for. Matter of fact, when that choir sung, this building ought not have held us. We got so much to thank Him for. You say, preacher, I ain't got much. Okay, you wait till you lose it all and you're going to realize what you have. Matter of fact, the devil will not show you what you got. He'll just show you what you ain't got. Honey, can I use you because you're so sweet? The devil won't show me how good this woman's been to me for 30 years. He just shows me the negative things she says sometimes. The devil won't show you how good God's been to you. He won't show you what you got. He just always pointing to stuff that you ain't got. And boy, if we'd follow Paul, we could go to a place of praying like we've never been. Now look, he prayed thankfully. And then in verse 3, he prayed thoughtfully. He said, oh my, he said, I'm praying for you. Boy, ain't that a blessing. You ever get down and pray and you get to thinking about the people in our church that's hurting, that needs prayer? Did a light go on to anybody this morning, them little ones lying around these steps, and think about how important it may be that we pray? He prayed thankfully. He prayed thoughtfully. He prayed for others. We ought to be praying for others. Thank God I can go to a church that people pray for me. Not a bunch of campaigning and politicians sitting around. Bunch of phony balonies. Shake your head this morning. That's right. Y'all thank God you're in a church that can pray for you. Prayer do things that nothing else can do. So what? You got a bunch of money. It'll burn up one day. You better get a hold of something in the eternal world. Prayer does change things. And my goodness, he prayed thankfully. Well, thank God for what we got. Well, preacher, I ain't making what I think I ought to make. Well, you're making something. We ain't eating. We ain't wearing what I think. Well, we ain't driving what. Well, honey, you could be walking, running around naked. Y'all thank him. He said, if you follow me, I'll teach you how to pray thankfully and thoughtfully. And then he said, I pray thoroughly. He said in verse 3, he said, always. For all what? That's a bunch of praying. I think it'd do good to follow Paul. What about you? I've heard people say, well, I ain't going to follow nobody but Jesus. Well, that's good. But the Bible said there's a few men you can follow if they follow in Christ. And you'll do all right. That's amazing he said that. And so, I believe he can take you on the excursion to a bigger place of praying. And then I think he can teach us something about pleasing. Look in verse 10. He said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Has a governor ever wrote you a letter and said, I wish you would come up here. I want you to know more about me. Has the president ever phoned your house and said, I want you to come here and I want you to know more about me? Christ did. That's what he said, that you might have more knowledge of God. He said, I can take you to a big place of where you can please God. We can please God expositionally. There's 66 books he wrote to talk to me and you. And we can get to know God not only expositionally, we can get to know God experientially. Did God ever just break in on you going up the road and you had your good old time Baptist fit and you throw your hands up, people start waving back at you and you say, I ain't waving at you, I'm just a praising God this morning. I mean, it works. I mean, thank God we can know Him positionally, but we can know Him practically. Walking with Jesus every day. Friend, listen, you're missing out on something if you just play in church. Church is boring. Can I get an amen right there? Lord, some of y'all look like preaching's boring this morning. Church stuff is stuffy and boring to me. Don't bore me with religion. Give me Christ that can make a difference in my life and my home. Give me something then, preacher, that can help me.
coming to church and gathering together in some kind of social clique ain't getting it done. We need the power of God. We need to live in a way to please Him. Pleasing. Are you doing what you're doing? Is it pleasing Him? I don't want nothing between me and Him. Nothing. I don't want nothing between me and Him. Let me tell you something. I would love to have a motorcycle. This, my God, I could just imagine sitting down on a Harley and flip that button and let's hear it this one time fire up and the Holy Ghost say, "It's fine, son, enjoy your motorcycle." But the Holy Ghost won't let me have it and go back and it's going to displease the Lord. I can't run around with things in my life. If you're going to be a Spirit-filled Christian, you can't either. Some of you can have a motorcycle. Praise God, run and ride it and shout the victory. When I get to heaven and I find out I could have had one, I'm going to be upset. Amen. But right now I can't have that, so I got to stay away from it. I want to please Him more than anything. You know something, what I found out? Brother David, I never had a daddy really tell me. And I'm not on nobody's pity party mission. I'm not. I'm just daddy. My daddy never told me he was proud of me. And I just yearned for that, brother. Man, when I was playing ball as a kid, I'd look up, "Daddy, praise God. Hey, boy, ain't I doing good?" He had just said, "I'm proud of you." He said, "Lord God, I'd have tore the goalpost down." But I just always yearning, you know, to hear say, "Good boy. Good." Boy, if you want to... Let me tell you, there's a day coming, hallelujah, if it's a Lapis building, where He's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Hallelujah. I feel the chains are coming off this morning. Lord God, I want to please Him, Brother Gerald. Brother James, I want to please Him in my deer stand. I want to please Him in the golf cart. I want to please Him when my door's shut and nobody else knowing what I'm doing. I want to please Him this morning. My God, I want to please Him more than anything in my life. He tells me, "Get on top of that pulpit and jump off." I'm a jumping. And I don't care what kind of looks you give me, I'm just going to keep a preaching. I don't care what you say about this preacher right now. I'm charged hell with a water gun. I'm telling you, I'd go bear hunting with a switch this morning. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah, if I just please Him. Lord, if a man tried to please 300 of you, he'd go crazy. So I found out the best thing a preacher can do is listen to God and preach. 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 I want to please Him more than anything in my life. He said, "If you follow me, I can teach you about praying. I can teach you about pleasing." And he said, "I'll tell you what." He said, I can teach you about power. Look, you ever seen this? Colossians 1, verse 11. He said that you might walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing. And he said, "Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Strengthened with all might. I couldn't quit smoking my dope because I'd been baptized. But honey, when the Spirit of God moved in my life, that dope took a back burner. He said that you might be filled. Look what He said. That you might know something about all might according to the glorious power. Don't tell me Jesus can't. Because Jesus can't. Jesus can fix your nasty mouth. Jesus can take away that habit you got. You say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. The Spirit of God lives in me. But I'm in bondage of an addiction. I can't get rid of it." You know why? Because you're yielding to something else. Look what the Bible says. Romans chapter number 6. I want to give you something right here on this power this morning. But he has power to change lives, to change marriages, to change homes. He has power to do anything that you need power for. Romans 6, verse number 14. "For sin shall not have dominion or lord over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves service to obey, His servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether sin to death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin.
Verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. He said, you know what? If you want to get rid of that addiction you're on, then if you'll yield to Him in this Bible and quit yielding to that monster of addiction, He said, you can beat it by the power of God. The AA clinics ain't going to beat it. Honey, you can go to every counselor in the world, give them $150 an hour about your marriage, and it ain't going to work till you apply the principles of this book. It ain't going to work. You're going to have Christ in you, the hope of glory, to make you quit doing what you're doing. And you know what? We're all human. We've all got temptations. We've all got issues. We've all got weaknesses. But honey, greater is He that is in you. Oh Lord, I feel like I'm preaching this morning. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He is greater and bigger than the devil. You don't have to be hooked on pornography. You don't have to be hooked on drugs and alcohol. You don't have to be hooked on the things of this world. Jesus breaks the chains of sin. No, church don't work. But Jesus does. You say, well, you know what? I had a bad experience at church, and I just don't like church. Well, I've had a bad experience at a lot of restaurants, but I went back. You just got a little cop-out going. You just a sissy. You just a whiny baby. You just need you a good case of guts. Well, I can't. I tell you what's wrong with you. You're full of yourself. It's all about you. And it ain't all about me. And it ain't all about you. And it leads me to my last point. When I close, He said, if you'll follow me, I'll teach you about praying. He said, I'll teach you about power. But He said, I'll teach you about preeminence. Boy, I wish a lot of Baptist churches could get a hold of that and follow into preeminence. Look what He says back over in the text of the book of Colossians. Look what He says about preeminence. Lord, this thing's so good, I'm getting help on my own preaching this morning. Matter of fact, y'all look like you need some preaching back here, so I'll just bring you some this morning. He said this about preeminence. Verse 18, He's the head of the body, the church. Ain't no deacon board ahead of no local body. Don't lose me right there. Ain't no man just because he got a lot of money ahead of the church. He's the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That means to be first. Sunday morning he ought to be first. He ought not have. Hey, it ain't no wrestling match over a deer stand in Jesus on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. People call me with all these flimsy excuses. Lordy mercy. Oh, don't get me going there. I'm trying to keep the right kind of spirit. Ain't it a blessing to follow Him where Jesus has all the preeminence? Can I ask you something? Wouldn't it be a blessing if you could follow Paul and Christ had the preeminence at your house? Everything you do, you're checking in with Christ to see if that's okay with Him. You're checking in this book to see if it lines up with everything that Jesus had to say. That He might have the preeminence. Lord, when that choir sang, it ain't about us. It ain't about a soloist. It ain't about one that's got the prettiest voice that can sing. It ain't about the one that can play the best or preach the best. Honey, it's the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the resurrection of the grave. Jesus got out of the grave and He lives victoriously in us. And praise God, He has to have all the preeminence in our life and in this place. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Miss Sherry, I want you to come this morning. Paul said if you'd follow him, he said he could take you to the experience of a believing place. Boy, he said he could also take you on the excursion to a bigger place. But he said, I tell you thirdly, if you follow me, he said, I can let you in on the expression about a better place. He said, if you'll follow me, he said, I can change your vocabulary. He said, you'll quit looking about everything going on here and you'll get focused on about what's going on there. Can I tell you something? We're fixing to leave this place. And I don't know how long. I don't know how long God's going to let each one of us live. But this is just a blink to an eternal world. This is only a blink for what's waiting on us out yonder. Paul used some words. Paul made me believe it. The expression of a better place. Philippians 1 verse 20. Philippians 1 verse 20. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But that with all boldness is always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Would you gain if you died this morning? Little Abby went home Sunday night. Called me this week, said, "Preacher, I got saved." Little Abigail will be in heaven with me one of these evenings. Ain't that amazing? You that God has convicted of your sins and you turned to Christ, you'll be in heaven with me one day. And Paul said, if you'll follow me, I'm going to let you in on the expression, going to a better place. He said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Verse 23, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. In other words, old Bowden Vernacular, you know what he said? I'm in a rotten hard spot. He said, having a desire to part to be with Christ, which is far better. God, can y'all just imagine the day when we step in His presence and live? Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Oh, I'm so glad I'm ready this morning. Are you ready? Do you need help for your life? I don't know what you're going through, but you know what? Paul said, if you follow me, I can lead you to where the power's at. Power that will help you in your home, in your heart, in your job, in everything, in your mind. So greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. What you need this morning? Won't you come and bring it here to an old-fashioned altar? Call upon Christ that can help you and bring your burdens to Him today. He cares for you. He loves you. He can help you this morning. Brother Dave, what's our number?